Do you know some people actually start a podcast and invite guests they think are ideal clients for sales opportunities? And guesting on other people's shows gives you a ton of collaboration and referral opportunities. But what if you suck at getting referrals? What if you are horrible at sales? What if you would never ask for referrals? What a waste. I have sales expert and author Joe Palo on my show to share why referrals are more important than the sale, how to ask for a referral, how to reach out to referrals with silver bullets, I might add, that help you gain rapport and sales. So let's dive in. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, I am here today with a friend of mine, Joe Palo, and he is a whiz and an author within the sales realm. Your book is such a catchy title, Joe, How to Sell Nothing, The Logical Way to Make the Emotional Sale. That really grabbed my attention. And when I first heard of you and heard you speak about like sales and referrals, I thought your approach is way more me than other, you know, approaches that I've seen. So wanted to have you on my show to share your wisdom.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here and I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
You bet. And so we were kind of talking off the green room of like why, you know, the audience maybe be like, why sales, Lindsay? But I feel like podcasts, whether you're a host, whether you're a guest, it's about that relationship, right? And there's so much opportunity for sales, for collaborating, for partnerships, for referrals. I feel like so many podcasters miss that opportunity or don't know how to handle it. And I've even seen people that actually start a podcast, invite people on that they would actually like to have as a client, as like a foot in the door, and use it as a sales opportunity. But I've actually been on a show where it was so sales that you could tell they were trying to get me as a client. And it was like total pitch fest. And I was like, what the heck? People cannot do it this way.
There's an ickiness in sales.
I know. There can be, yep. But it doesn't have to be that way. And I love your approach with how to sell nothing. So diving into referrals, which is obviously a huge part of sales, You say to treat it as a sale and that it's more important than a sale. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. I think the first part is when it comes to referrals, there's two pieces I touch on, I guess. The first, when we started selling, we sucked at everything. We were horrible. Every part of the sale, we were really bad with. Establishing rapport, or creating a buying environment, or answering objections. But through years of practice, we got pretty good. Or maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, we're at a 10, except when it comes to the referrals. Mm-hmm. Most people that I work with are still rookies. These are top producers, but yet their referral, that vertical, they're still rookies and they're passive. So that's the first part, is they got better through repetition at these other parts of the sale. If they take that same energy and go back to the rookie thinking with referrals, that's going to get a big growth in their business, because it's just going to be exponentially the referral business. There's nothing passive about referrals. That's the first piece. And I think for most of their careers, we've been treating it, oh, by the way, I'd like to kind of maybe have an introduction if it's not too much trouble. Oh, here's a business card.
I know.
Versus a strong, solid ask. And referrals are given to confident people. So you have a confident ask, again, just like every other part of your sale. So that's the first part. As far as it's more important than the sale. This goes back years ago when I was at Tom James. I was selling custom clothing and I went and pitched an individual and he said no to me. His name's Lyle Hemmingson. I was at Luthan Brotherhood. It's now Thrivent Financial. Someone said no to me. So what happened? I got a no. But he gave me four names. 18 months later, this is from a no, I had 80 clients at Thrivent Financial.
Wow.
Similar thing happened at St. Paul Companies in St. Paul, Minnesota. They're now Travelers that are out east. Sent a mailer to a guy, Mike Conroy, sold him a couple of suits. He gave me three names, had not even tried on a suit. It was in that same transaction. 2 years later, I had 150 clients at St. Paul Companies. I had my own ID. I had a parking spot. I almost had my own office there. So that kind of got me thinking that this referral business generates referral businesses. Therefore, yeah, referrals are more important than the sale.
And I think too, it exponentially can grow your business versus focusing on that one sale.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's going back to treating it like a sale. We have to really look at it. If in sales, you have to have a certain level of trust if you're going to have the next transaction. Mm-hmm. And if you're dealing with clients, let's just say if you're buying a house, that's a big investment. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the major investments we have. That's a high level of trust. And we have that ability, let's say if I'm a realtor, to make that transaction and establish that trust, but yet I'm hesitant to ask for the name of their neighbor or their brother. It doesn't make sense. Or here's a better way of saying it. Let's just say, and I use silly examples, but examples may be silly, but the ideas behind it, yeah, I think are pretty solid. Say it's summertime, my kids are out playing with my neighbor's kids in the backyard. We're both doing some work. And I say, hey, I got to run to Home Depot. Can you watch my kids? I'll be right back in like 20 minutes. I trust them, my neighbor, to watch my kids. High level of trust.
Yeah.
But yet when it comes around vacation, I don't know if I want to ask them to bring in the garbage cans. It just doesn't make sense.
Like, not
but
logical.
It's the same thing with referrals. We have to apply that same level there. We've already got the trust there.
Why do we have such a mind block on it? Why do we?
Why do we get stuck? I think it goes back to that ickiness of sales. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to be, hey, who do you know? And you have to approach it the right way. Just a real quick way on to help with that ickiness of asking for a referral.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I was talking to you, Lindsay, and you're the client. I'm just going to kind of jump in the role play here. Lindsay, and let's say you've been a client of mine for 2 years. Say, Lindsay, just curious. I was wanting to get some feedback. This is when we've done it. We just agreed your next product. We read it. We have some time. And I'd jump in and say, Lindsay, I was wondering if I could ask a question. Say, yeah. I was wondering if you could help me out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working together the past 2 years. We've taken care of this issue. We've helped you out with this. We've also helped you out with this other thing. Just curious. Want to get some feedback. What have you liked about working with me or my team? I ask for some feedback first.
Right.
And then that gets you talking about what you like about me, which is good for me to hear. It helps boost my confidence and gets me in a better spot. And then almost 90% of the time, I'll say, what else? I make you really think about what you like about working with me. And mentally, there's a bucket called those things. When I say what you like about working with me, your words fill up that bucket of those things that you like about working with me. When you say that, I just pivot and say, just curious, who are two people who would like those things? It's that simple of an ask.
That is easy.
They've just been bragging on you. It's almost awkward for them to say, well, I can't think of anybody. So it's just your mindset. That's one of the reasons you can help us get over the ickiness of the referrals. But the other part is we're just not confident asking for it. We hum and ha. We don't have a direct close. I mean, if you're closing for your business, or I mean, say it this way. In a selling situation, I'll ask my clients, how do you want to be perceived? Now hear words like, I want to be focused and confident, energetic, prepared, trustworthy. They have a really clear picture of that person when they're selling. Well, I ask, how come that person isn't asking for referrals? Here we are in sales one way. We're very confident. We're prepared, professional, energetic. But when it comes to referrals, we downshift and say, you know, like I was saying earlier, here's a business card. But I'd like to kind of maybe sort of help me out and possibly potentially maybe introduce me someday.
It's even hard asking for testimonials. I'm so horrible at it. Legit.
Yep.
Like for me, I feel like it's awkward because I don't want to put the other person out. I don't want other people feeling awkward. I think it's just, like you just get your mind in the wrong track where you should be confident. Hey, I'm helping you. I believe in what I'm doing. I believe in my service. Why wouldn't you know someone that, you know, would do that? And I wouldn't feel offended if someone asked me that. I might not be able to think up someone right off the bat, but I don't feel offended. So why would the other person feel offended?
It's in our heads. Referrals are the biggest objections in our heads. You're spot on.
Yeah.
That's our problem.
Now, are there situations, like I'm thinking from like a podcaster standpoint, I mean, you know, asking your clients who you're serving already feels a little bit more doable. But when you're, you know, someone relatively new, or let's say you do a pod swap, so therefore, you know, you've got that rapport between each other, and you know that you serve the same people. And so how do you broach that conversation? Or let me backtrack. Are there people that you should ask and shouldn't ask? Like, is there a right time or wrong time?
That's a lot of questions.
Sorry.
They're all good ones too.
Bad host. We need to
throw some softballs over here. I appreciate it. First, there's never a right time to ask for referrals. Anytime you ask is wrong. And I say that a little bit with the humor, meaning just ask.
Yeah, fair enough.
That you cannot wait for the right time. Sometimes I look at it, there's a line that we have to cross mentally where we're comfortable asking for referrals. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it happens at hello. Sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah.
So all of my conversations assume that we've crossed that line.
Okay.
And it's just once I feel comfortable with that, I like them, they know what I'm going to ask. It's just part of how I do it.
Yeah.
But I do have a process in line, and I do have, I guess, some pieces that help get more value out of the referrals. So I'm comfortable asking for them, and I'm even more comfortable than using them. There's two steps. One, you got to ask, but two, you got to use them and have value with them.
Yeah. And so how do you ask without it being awkward?
First, I'm a big believer in scripts, which seems really like that's anti-sales. And I'll often, if I'm speaking in a group, I'm going to talk on scripts. I'll say, just curious, raise your hand if there's any idiots in the room. And a couple of people raise their hands because they're idiots. That's what they do. But I say, the reason I say that is I'm going to talk about scripts. And a lot of times people will say, I can't do scripts. I'll sound like a robot. And I think that's kind of silly, because you think about how hard you work to find the name, to get the phone number, and then you have to get past the secretary, or then you have to work to get the cell number, and then you have to get them on the call. Only an idiot would allow themselves to be passive and robotic in that selling situation. So that's the first part, is you can do a script, but you have to be intentional with that and look at the focus of that. So I'm a big believer in, if you know what you're going to say, you don't have to sit there and say, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? I'm allowed to listen at a much higher level. I'm allowed to present it more confidently because I know what I'm going to say. And actually, if you say the same thing, you're going to get the same results. You know, most people just kind of wing the referral ask, and they don't know why they're not, what works, if they get one, or why they don't. They don't know.
I don't mind scripts. I believe it or not, I used to be a manager for a nonprofit telemarketing company. Mm-hmm. So believe me, I understand scripts, but it's like, you can make it your own. You can be conversational with it. Like, it's kind of a guide. And yeah, I can imagine, like, you feel more confident if you kind of know the rhythm, or like what to say, or what to say back if they say something else. It takes that stress off of it.
Sure. I could, a little hint in something that your listeners can use tomorrow. And my script hasn't changed. If I'm calling on the phone, I will insert a chuckle, a little laugh, because you can hear a laugh and you can see a laugh on the phone, but it makes me be present on that call. I cannot be passive. So if I was calling you, and let's just say it was a referral, this is exactly where I would I'd say, hey, Lindsay, it's Joe Palo. I don't say this is, because that screams I'm a salesperson.
Yeah.
So if I was calling you, I'd say, hey, Lindsay, it's Joe Palo. Like, pause and think about who's Joe Palo. And then I'll say, well, I don't want you racking your brain trying to figure out who I am. We haven't met yet. I'm saying what you're thinking.
Yeah.
You like me. I mean, we're like 2 seconds in the call and your attention's going from your laptop. Now you're looking at your phone.
Right.
And I pause and I kind of chuckle. I don't want you racking your brain trying to figure out who I am. We haven't met yet. And their brain starts thinking, well, why are you calling? And I say, I suppose you wonder why I'm calling. Bill Jones mentioned name the other day, and I'm not sure if mentioning his name is going to help me or hurt me.
You're using humor. So you're putting people at ease.
And I'm forcing myself to chuckle. That's how I can do scripts. That's how you're not robotic with that piece.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my, and then I would go into, well, this is the part where I put in a silver bullet, where I'd say something I'd know about him that the referee told me.
So good lead in. What is a silver bullet?
I was going that way. It was kind of, we set each other up for that. A silver bullet is a bit of information that I know mm-hmm. that an average Joe on the street doesn't know.
Mm.
It's a bit of information that I know that an average Joe on the street doesn't know. It's gathered from the referee,
right,
generally at the time of referrals. So let's just say you referred me to Bill Jones. And we've already asked the piece. This is getting more value out of the referrals. Actually, let me back up before. I'll come back to that. Here's why silver bullets are important. Right now, names and numbers are not enough. We're too busy. We've mm-hmm. all been referred to people. We've got their good contacts, their good prospects. We may have left a message, but I can't get anywhere with them.
Yeah.
And you have their business cards maybe by your laptop or your top desk drawer or your dresser at home, but we can't get them because we didn't get a silver bullet. A silver bullet mm-hmm. is used to get through and get them to call you back. That's right. Why we need them first, because names and numbers, we're too busy. The definition, again, something that I know that an average Joe on the street doesn't know, and it's given from, or it's gathered from the referee at the time of the referrals were given generally, but I want to draft off of their relationship. I want to be comfortable asking for referrals. I want to use that relationship that they have to the referee. And that's how I'm going to bring it to that first phone call or that first voicemail or even that first conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say they refer me to Bill Jones, I'll ask some general questions. You know, how long has he worked there? How long have you known him? Size of his team? And I think we do an okay job answering some of those questions. But then I change gears and say, just curious, what type of decision maker is Bill? Is he a numbers guy? Is he a driver? Is he a talker? And I watch their face and like, all right, I got to think about it. Yeah, I want you thinking. I want you thinking about yeah. that relationship, because that's what I need the draft on.
Mm.
I need you thinking about that person. That's it right there. And then I'll follow up with, all right, just curious, what do you respect most about him? Love asking that question. What do you respect most about him? And like, oh, now I really got to think about it. And that's like, yeah, I really want you thinking about it. And whatever they say, I'll say, well, what else? And I'm just writing it down.
Yeah.
Those are all silver bullets. Some actual silver bullets. I changed the names, but Mark referred me to Aaron. They're in the mortgage business. He said he started working under me. He had about 3 loan officers now. Now he's got up to 50. He's a great guy, good family guy, incredibly high ethics, very open-minded, progressive. He's not a meathead. All those were the silver bullets. Okay. When I called Mark, or I'm sorry, when I called Aaron,
yeah.
I said, Aaron, it's Joe Palo. We haven't actually met yet. I don't want you racking your brain trying to figure out who I am. Mark mentioned your name. I don't, mentioning his name is going to help me or hurt me, but he said, you're not a meathead. 612-805-7576. And I hung up. He called me back in 15 minutes. Silver bullets will get you calling back.
Yeah. Mark McKean,
a good client, a good friend, and he is a meathead. So, but that's how effective they are. You're going to catch something there, and you can drip those on your messages. Eventually, right. they're going to call you back. But that's the kind of the process. When you get a name, ask them general questions, get a question mm-hmm. answer rhythm going, and then I shift gears and say, just curious, what type of decision maker is he? If I help him out, is he a driver? Is he a talker? Is he a yeah. numbers guy? Because that's good information to know. If he's
absolutely.
A driver, yeah, I know. I got when I get on the phone, I got 7 seconds to catch his attention, and then I'll get another 11. You know, but
yeah.
if he's a talker, I got to let him get his words out. So it's good information.
Mm.
And then I shift and say, what do you respect most about him? What else? And that's what I do. That's your
yeah.
how silver bullets work. A quick piece on that too. When you do leave a silver bullet and you get them calling you back, because they will, because they want to wonder, what else did Mark say?
Yeah, yeah, true.
I put their number in my phone. I want to know who was calling me back.
Yeah.
And I'll have this is the hard part. You have a referral calling you back and we want to go into our pitch.
Right.
I don't do that. It's hard to do. But when Aaron called me back, at that time, I had time to go into my pitch, but I didn't do it. I said, hey, Aaron, Thanks for calling back. I appreciate it. I apologize. I've actually got to jump into a meeting here. Can we set up a time for next week? I'm talking to the guy I want to talk to, and I will push it out a week, intentionally a week. And that does a couple of things. Is one, I don't want to go through my pitch and all of a sudden goes, Joe, I'm jumping on a plane. Can we call you next week? I've lost all that momentum.
Right.
So I don't have that. The second thing is, by me setting up an appointment, it gently puts me in control. When we're in a sales environment, it's my show if I'm selling. When you're selling, it's your show. This gently puts me in control. It also elevates the importance of my call because we put things in a calendar that are important.
Right.
But I want it out a week because I want him to look and say, what's Joe Palo doing in my calendar? He's that guy who called me, said I wasn't a meathead. I want him thinking about me for a week before I even get there. But the biggest thing, Lindsay, is sales, there's nothing passive about sales. When I get that phone call coming in, I have to be on my game. I mean, I look at, let's say the value of this interaction, maybe $5,000 or $10,000 if you annualize, or maybe $15,000. Okay. That phone call, that next, when I'm taking that, that maybe 30 to 45 minute phone call is worth $15,000 or $10,000 or $15,000.
Yeah.
Because if I don't do that call right, I'm not going to get the next ones. And I want to be focused. So this allows me, by setting up a meeting for next week, I can clear my desk, I can get focused, and I will close.
Nice. I would never have thought.
You asked one question and I just blew up. I'm sorry.
What's that?
I said you asked one question and I just blew up. Sorry about that.
No, that's perfect. I would never have thought of like putting that person off. I would have just, start talking to the person. Absolutely. But you're right. Their brain is framed and they know the expectation of that call. And then you were more prepared and you can't get sideswiped and be like, oh, sorry, I actually only have 10 minutes right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Smart. I love that. So when you are talking to them, like, how do you just start like saying like who you are and, oh, I do this. Like, do you have to explain what you're doing for the guy's friend? Or do you just ask questions about where he's at in his business? Like, how do you deal with that sales call to make it gain that rapport, but also they understand what you do?
Sure. The first part is I only call referrals. I mean, we were saying in the green room up until 4 months ago, I didn't do podcasts, or 5 months ago, didn't have a website, didn't even have Facebook or anything. My business was all referral based.
Yeah.
So that part is I get referred to people who, from people who know me and like me, and they know the right people. I get referred to the right people. Yeah. I think you asked earlier, should you ask people, some people you should not ask referrals for. If they're not your ideal client, I probably would not be as open asking for them. Yes, I could be wrong. That's a generalization, but birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
That's old cliche. That's true with referrals. They'll get you to the right people.
Yeah.
what do you say when you do that? When I call back, naturally, we'll talk about the referee, maybe talk about some more silver bullets, establishing a little bit more rapport.
Yeah.
And then they probably have a sense of what I do, but I'll say, I'm an executive level coach. I help sales leaders and their teams grow double or triple their business.
Yeah.
But if it's all right with you, can I skip over the part where I brag about myself about how good and great and wonderful I am? I actually say that right away at the beginning, because they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, fair enough.
And think about how many sales calls they're just talking about and they're puking.
Yeah.
That's that. I won't do that. I want to get them talking. You know, it's another a big thought with sell nothing in the coaching. Whoever's talking is buying. In a selling situation, if I am talking more than you are, I'm literally buying your objections.
Oh, that's
good. And if I get you talking more than me, you're buying whatever I'm selling. So by me having that first conversation, no one's ever said, no, I'd like to hear you brag about yourself. They never said, they don't care. And it just screams confidence. I don't need it. I'm good. I don't need to brag about myself. So that kind of helps get past it. I get them talking and then I just keep on asking questions.
Yeah. I love that. That's a really good nugget.
Thank you.
I saw in your book too, that it's about making that emotional connection during every conversation. Some people have a hard time doing that. They either overdo it or they're like too buddy buddy. Like, how do you have tips on how to foster that emotional connection?
Yeah, I think first the understanding, we focus on selling something, mm-hmm. whatever that is, a service or whatever. And we sometimes fixate on selling that to the point that relationship takes a hit, becomes secondary. And the whole value of how to sell nothing, it's a logical way to make the emotional sale. And emotions are weird and fickle things and they change. But I look at it, I'm striving never to teach, speak, sell, or train until I've created an emotional engagement. That's selling. Mm. And it's asking them questions. A better way of saying it is, doctors cannot fix you until you literally tell them how or why.
Mm.
I can't sell anyone until they tell me how or why. It's the same thing. Doctors, they know the idea, they know the solution.
Yeah.
But they need the patient to say what's wrong and, you know, to talk about their story and get them talking. Otherwise, they're not going to take the prescription. Well, the same is with us.
Yeah.
So basically, how to sell nothing is getting your clients to say what they want and why they want it, and then just sell that.
Dang. It's like,
it's easy. I mean, you don't have to be good anymore. That's it.
But yeah, it makes total sense. But it is the reverse of kind of like of what you automatically think you should be doing.
Yeah, yeah. There's another download. It's called the Earning System. It's E-A-R-N-I-N-G, and each letter stands for a questions that you want to ask in the sale. I can put that up in the chat, and they can. It's a free download.
Okay.
But it kind of walks through that, help you with that question of what do you say. But there's some key pieces in that part that are very, very effective.
Because you do say that selling is kind of like a recipe. And if you do it in the, correct me if I'm wrong, if you have the wrong ingredients or you do it in the wrong order, it doesn't work.
Yeah. It's if you have a recipe and you follow the directions, you're going to bake a cake.
Yeah.
But if you mix everything up first and then you bake it, or I mean, you bake everything first and then you mix it up, it's like, it doesn't work. But the same as with sales. Well, you have a logical way to step through that. There is a thing called seasoning that chefs have, because two chefs can do the same recipe and the cakes could look taste vastly different.
Yeah.
That's your personality. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But they're still following the basic recipe. It's a process. I think we just wing it too much. We don't really know what works or what they say.
Yeah. I know. Or we want to like cut corners or hurry up, rush the process as well, I'm sure.
Actually, that's a key point. We've all done it. We're going to do it again. We have a great conversation with somebody. We think it's a done deal. We skip a step or two and it bites us in the butt every time.
Yeah.
You can't, even though you know you have it, just say, hey, I just want to make sure I cover everything. I want to make sure that I know I'm not skipping those steps.
How do you know when someone is ready to buy and they like are showing you those buying signals and then it's the right time for the close, so to speak, or the ask?
That's probably the second. People talk past the close. I look at it in sales, you need two sales to happen or two buckets that need to be filled. Mm. There's a logical sale, a logical bucket, an emotional sale, an emotional bucket. Both are important, but we all know the emotional one makes things happen because that's how we're wired. Logically is important because it confirms it. Well, the logical bucket is filled with my voice. I'm the expert and I can talk out facts and figures about my product or service and fill up that bucket. But that bucket's finite. You have a bucket full of water. It's impossible to put more water in it. You have a client logically sold. It's impossible to sell more logic. The emotional bucket is filled with their voice. And emotions are weird and fickle things and they change and they don't make sense. But I need them saying that. I have both buckets filled, I'll get to the next step.
Right.
You asked when you've asked enough questions about what they want and why they want it, those words are filling up their emotional bucket. When I get them both filled, I'll get the next step. Now, a key thing with the emotional bucket, that has holes in it. Meaning we've had great meetings with people. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10. And you know, this is awesome. And say, Joe, can you come back in 2 weeks and I want to see your proposal? We've had those meetings. Mm-hmm. And we come back in 2 weeks and we're like, this is going to be a lay down. It's going to be a layup. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
But the meeting's different. You know, it's all of a sudden that you're prospecting. She's not asking questions and she's looking at her watch. Now she's looking at her computer and her arms are crossed. And you walk out of there with, I need to think about it. And one of the biggest things I work on is, how come I have these great first sales meetings and the second one's going nowhere?
Yeah.
What am I doing wrong at the second one? I said, no, the problem happened the first one. We did not get them talking enough about what they want and why they want it. Because I'm going to need to close on that in 5 minutes or 5 weeks or 5 months.
Right.
And I'm not going to know until they tell me. But the where I was going with that, the emotional bucket has holes in it. Because when we come back in 2 weeks, the logic bucket's still full. The emotional bucket's empty. And most people start selling logic.
So true.
They won't engage until you get them. They never teach, speak, train, or sell until you get them emotionally engaged.
I love that. And I feel like these skills, yes, they're good within those sales conversations. But even again, like for inviting someone to be on your show, for establishing a relationship with a host or a guest, or working on collaborating in some way, or getting those invites to a summit, or again, getting referral business from them. All of those tips and skills that you've shared are completely usable and will help you use that podcasting strategy in order to kind of like, you know, forward yourself to get more sales, get more relationships, get more conversations going. So yeah, I just want to make sure that my audience kind of sees that angle of it, because I think it's really, really important. And honestly, who doesn't need more tips and strategies and advice to convert more sales? No one.
Well, it's the biggest conversion, and I work with a lot of sales managers and their teams, but the principles that I talk about and how to sell nothing with the sales managers, I take off the word sales and put lead. It's the same principles. We lead people logically. That doesn't work. We have to lead them emotionally. What do they want? Yes. Why, what's their goals? It's the same process. People, hey, get your dials up. That's logic. They know that. Mm-hmm. Logic's not going to make them do anything different.
No.
So it's what you said is very true, that it's very transferable.
Yes.
That's it works in a lot of different, it can work with your kids.
Yeah, you're right.
Good luck with that for all of us. Yes.
Yes. I used to like giving my kids the alternative clothes. Do you want this or this? Yeah. But then yep. When I had my daughter, she went, no, I want that thing over there. I was like, yep. Oh. Yep.
We have to answer objections with our kids.
I know. It's hilarious. Well, I'm so glad you came on the show. I know I learned a ton and I'm like mentally, you know, sinking it all in so I can get better at my sales. And yeah, I know we'll see more of you. And I see you're on a lot of podcasts already, which is amazing. So you can spread the word. So I think you said you earlier that you had a resource for the Silver Bullets. And then I also sure. want people to know how to get your book.
Okay. As far as the Silver Bullets, go to www.silverbulletreferrals.com.
Ooh.
Put it in the chat, silverbulletsreferral.com. And it's a free download. I'll have it on there. It'll go to my website. And there's a way to get the book right on there from Amazon. If you want large purchases, just go to info@sellnothing.co. Mm. info@sellnothing.co. And Holly and I can talk to you about that and help you work with that piece. The earning piece, I know I'm giving a lot. Maybe I shouldn't do this much on a podcast. That what to say when you're having that conversation is convertsalesfaster.com. Mm. Convertsalesfaster.com. So there's two downloads. And then if you want to go to info@sellnothing.co, you can shoot an email and we can talk there.
I love that. Thank you.
Sure.
Before we go, I want to ask you one more question, because we're coming up on like holidays and Thanksgiving just happened. And so many people are like, oh, just talk to me after the holidays, or even in the summer, talk to me after the summer vacation. Yep. What do you do with that?
Timely, hypothetically, we're hearing that a lot this time of year.
Yes.
And here, I'll practice what I preach. I just don't want to give you the answer. I have to make sure I get your listeners emotionally engaged. That objection, we all hate it. And what yes. do we do with it? We got to think about it. It's a chip that's in their head. They know if they say that 95% of the time, all right, I'll call you in January. It works. So we have to fry that chip. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Now let's look at the reality of that objection. Call me back after the holidays. I'm swamped. I'm too busy. I don't buy it. Right now, companies are not having new products roll out. They're not having their people on the field. They're not doing any trainings. They're just hunkering down. They probably have more white space on their calendar right now than any other time of the year.
Absolutely.
That's the reality we have to deal with. First, it's our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it's a chip and we know their objections, kind of a bunch of hooey. So how do we get through it? And I'll put this on these silver bullets as far as the second page.
Oh, sweet.
How to answer this. There's a quick process. First, when I hear that, let them off the hook. We're not going to convert them. Let them go. Let them play that chip. Let them fry it. Say, that's fine. Not a big deal. We can do that. It's a two-part change topic is the next step. First one, just say, curious, what do you have going on? Talk about the holidays or whatever. Because they are busy, but it's not work-related. They have stuff going on, but odds are it's not work-related. So let them off the hook. Two-part, change the topics. What do you have going on? Get them talking about that. And then you have to kind of bring it back around to work or whatever you're doing. Say, hey, just curious, when we do meet, I had a couple ideas for you, but was there something in particular you wanted to talk about? That's a gently, they come back around to what you're going to serve as a product. They may or not, but you covered it. Say, I got some ideas, but was there anything particular you wanted to talk about?
Yeah.
Get them talking about that. And then the fourth step, close again. Say, hey, just curious. I was looking at my calendar. I'm across the street next Thursday. What's Thursday like? That's all you have to do is close one more time. Sometimes it's nothing in sales works 100% of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it gets you, they said the objection, we fried that chip, and then you're closing again, saying, hey, I just realized I'm going to cross the street on Thursday. What's Thursday look like? And I want their eyes looking at their calendar. That's the first thing we do.
Yeah.
And then I may even close again, say, you know what? If they push me back, say, the hardest thing about my job is catching busy people like yourself on the phone. Since I got you on the phone, let's just book a time in January.
Yes.
So that's kind of the way to get around it. Again, you know, sales, we have our idea. It never always works, but hopefully gives a couple ideas.
Yeah.
I'll tack that piece on to the end of the silver bullet referrals.
Awesome. So you
can walk through that part as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I pulled you in for one more tip because you're so good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you so much, Joe.
Yep.
And that's it for this week for the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Have a great one, guys.
Thanks.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you are guesting on podcasts but still feel like the best kept secret and you want to create authority boosting content with ease while attracting leads and clients, then request a free podcast guest leverage audit to transform your results. Head to leverageyourpodcast.com/guest audit.